And now for our story. Well, we had a busy week last week. Went with all this work to get the bottling works going and the problem of finding power to run it. But Max's ingenuity saved the day. And Rube's taxicab is now doing double duty as the power behind the bottling works. And stopping, of course, whenever it's necessary to take care of any taxi business. Then, too, there were no bottles for the water. Here, the basement of Doc Benson's kitty clinic proved a fertile field to solve the problem. Finally, everything got underway. And when we left our ambitious colleagues Friday, Danny Stratford was off for Chicago in search of a first order for our new enterprise. What success did Danny have? Our story opens at Mary's home just before lunch. Mary is talking to Phyllis.
You see, Phyllis, it was only a couple of weeks ago that you and Danny were on the verge of parting.
Yes. Oh, Mary, that would have been awful.
You didn't think so then?
Oh, don't rub it in. I know I was foolish.
If we'd only know that at the right time, Phyllis.
When is the right time, Mary?
When you were quarreling so. The right time, the psychological moment. The moment when everything's right.
But when is that moment?
Well, you just have to feel it, Mom.
Feel it?
Now, Phyllis, I'm no psychologist.
But I don't understand.
Well, it's just this. When you and Danny were fighting so, and Danny was going to leave...
Oh, now you're going to take Danny's side. I just know it, Mary.
Oh, now, be sensible, Phyllis. I'm just saying something that may help you. That time several weeks ago when you and Danny had the quarrel and Danny was going to leave, you could have saved the day.
I know.
By giving in to Danny.
I knew it. A woman is always supposed to give in. I knew it, Mary.
Because, Phyllis, I've learned, and I guess all of we women learn, that the first victory with our husbands is when we do give in at first.
When we give in, you call that a victory?
Yes. A woman's greatest victory ever is turning what seems like defeat into victory.
Oh, Mary, you're talking nonsense.
Well, now hear me out, Phyllis, and then see. It must always seem in the family that the man takes the victory, whatever it is. It's necessary for his ego.
Why?
Well, would you respect Danny if you knew that other men didn't respect him?
I should say I wouldn't.
Well, now, wait a minute. You and Danny are always going to extremes, bursting over one way or the other. Well, it doesn't make any difference whether we women like it or not, but the male is the dominant sex in life. There it is, and God made life that way, male and female. The woman has the job of lugging the babies around while the man goes off to make the kill. He's too weak to make the kill, then the woman has to become the killer. Bring home the bacon, I guess you'd call it, if the babies are to have food. And any way you look at it, the man's bound to crawl if he finds he's a better killer of the needs of life. A good provider in simple homey language and knows about him. He begins to show off his ego. See what I've done, all that.
Where'd you read that, in a book?
You don't have to read it in a book. Although I guess you can find it there, too. Just common sense, if you think it over.
Oh, thinking things like that gives me a headache.
Oh, I don't mean to go digging around like a psychologist. It's just the thoughts that come to you by looking about you at other women and their problems, and after you've had some experience.
But how does that affect Danny and me, Mary?
Well, it affects you, Phyllis, because I think part of your problem, yours and Danny's quarreling, is due to your conflicting egos.
What? Our conflicting egos?
Yes. You're both striving so hard to make good in your marriage. You do both want to succeed at it because you take pride in each other and in yourselves. That's why you overtry. You make a great fuss out of what you'd laugh at in others.
Oh.
And that's why you think each other has an inflated ego.
What was that?
An inflated ego. I guess that's the right phrase. Where one has excessive pride about himself. And really, Phyllis, deep down in your heart, you're not inflated. You're really hungry at heart. You just want to be sure the other person appreciates you the way you'd like to be appreciated.
How did you know that? Did I ever talk in my sleep?
Oh, no, darling. But haven't I felt the same way? Hasn't every woman felt the same way?
I don't know. I've always felt that was too close to me to talk to other women about.
But why not? The real you, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, the real me. Oh, but I guess I'm just a timid little fool at heart.
Stop calling yourself names. That gets you nothing. You can't expect ever to be better when you're always telling yourself you're terrible.
Yes, that's true. But what about this psychological moment business?
Oh, I almost forgot the subject. Well, when you and Danny quarrel, Instead of letting it get to the point where Danny has to assert his manliness that he is the head of the house, you just give in and say, all right, Danny, I guess maybe you're right about such things. Now, what do you think we ought to do about it?
Yes, and then what happens?
Well, Danny's bound to realize then that the responsibility of the decision falls upon him. And in that case, his ego will certainly want him to make the right decision. He'll do everything in his power to do the right thing that will bring the best good to his own home. Just natural, man. Even if it was a caveman to do that.
Well, Mary, I guess you know more about these things than I do, but I don't know about this psychological moment thing.
Well, how are you, Phyllis? Hey, how's my life?
Oh, dear, it's my psychological moment to see about life. Oh, Phyllis, we talked away the whole morning.
Oh, Viola, Mr. Tilly's home for lunch.
Phyllis, talk to Max while I see about lunch.
All right, Mary.
Hey, my little Mayflower, your old man wants to kiss you.
Oh, it's lunch, Max. I'm terribly busy this morning, and I've got to see if Viola has her lunch ready.
Well, what a reception. What a reception. Can you imagine that? Well, hi, Phyllis. Hi.
Grand. Did you hear from Danny this morning,
Max? Nope, not a word. Not a word. I don't know what your old man is doing down there in Chicago.
Oh, Max, I'm worried about Danny.
Huh?
He promised he'd write when he left here Friday.
Well, I wouldn't worry. Chicago's a big town. He's got to see the sights, you know. And this is Danny's first trip away from home. He's probably getting his eyes full.
That's what worries me.
Huh?
Come on, Max.
Okay, come on, Phyllis. Call the old dinner bell and have my son.
All right, thanks, Mary.
This is awful hot. Red hot.
Well, we'd better feed the twins later, Viola. Mr. Tilly's very busy today and wants to get away, I believe.
Well, how'd you guess it, Tuts? How'd you guess it? Well, I'm going to grab that kiss right now and have to chase you around his table all afternoon. Come on.
Well, we can't have that, for I, too, have work to do. Here I await submissively.
You see, Phyllis, you see how it's done? Why, it's like taming a lion. You got to know the trick.
My, are you proud of yourself, Mr. Tilly?
Yeah, well, say, who wouldn't be a great lover like me? Well, come on, let's fall to, gang.
Will you have some beans, Max?
Hey, beans, boy, do I go for them. Man, shoot the ham right over next, will you, Phyllis?
Right.
Hey, this is swell.
Oh, Viola, you've forgotten the bread. Please bring it.
Yeah, Viola, we got to have the club of life, you know. Hey, are you eating, Phyllis?
I'll leave alone, Max.
Huh?
Phyllis was worried about Danny.
About Danny? Say, listen, he's probably having the time of his life. Why, he's probably playing sucker right now to every skin game in town.
Max, you don't think so.
Well, sure, it'll do him good. Hey, Viola, what you doing, raising that wheat?
No, only the yeast.
Oh, is she getting good? You know, that's what being married to my man Burberry has done for her.
Burberry's a mighty fine husband, Miss Tilly, even if I do say so myself.
Sure. You see, what'd I tell you? I knowed Burberry'd make a woman out of you, Viola.
Oh, Max.
Well, he's all right, Mr. Southern. I know he's only fooling. But my Burberry ain't like some men. He wouldn't step out on me if he went away.
Oh, Burberry? No, sir. And say, he'd say to a girl, meaning me and him, can't take you out tonight. We is a good husband already.
Oh, now quit teasing Viola, Max.
Oh, she don't mind, do you, Viola, huh?
Of course not.
Max is always joking. Oh, Max, give Phyllis some ham. Phyllis, don't you think you'd like just a little piece of this ham?
Oh, sure.
No, Mary, really, I wouldn't.
Max,
huh?
I can't help being worried about Danny. He's so headstrong.
Yes, he is. Wasn't me. Now, Mary?
Oh, Danny's a good boy, and I love him, but it is his first time to the city. Oh, you don't suppose anything could happen to him there in Chicago?
Oh, sure. A thousand things. Why, the town's a regular lion's den for a boy like
Danny.
Oh, Max. Here's a coffee, Mr. Max.
Huh?
They do say, if you'll pardon me, that city is full to the very brim with beautiful girls.
No. You don't mean it, really.
That's what they say. And some wicked, too.
Well, there. Now, who told you that, Leo?
Well, you see, my husband's been around a bit since he came over from...
Oh, Burberry, huh? Well, I'll bet a beautiful, wicked girl chased him down to Heart of State Street one day, huh?
Well, I don't know about that. But if I had a husband in Chicago, I'd feel better if he was safe at home.
There. Now, you see, Phyllis, you see?
Oh, Max, please stop teasing Phyllis.
Huh?
Oh, Viola, I'll just have some water to drink.
No, nothing for me, Viola.
Max?
Yeah?
If Danny doesn't send word soon about where he is and what's happening to him, I'll go up to Chicago myself and find him.
No, none of that, Phyllis. Now, don't interfere with a man's business. This is Danny's big chance to do something, and don't spoil it.
Oh, no. No, Max, I wouldn't do that for anything in the world, but... Oh, he promised he'd write. I know he'd write to me. Even if he is ever so busy trying to sell Stratford Springs water. But what if something's happened to him?
Huh?
He hasn't anybody there he knows to turn to.
Well, there's John Fowler's Chicago office. I could call him.
Oh, please, Max.
Huh?
I can't stand this, waiting to hear how he is.
Yeah, but he's been gone only since Friday. I thought you was glad to get rid of him, the way you've been fighting lately with Danny.
Oh, I know, I know. It was all my fault. Maybe he's seen some other girl. Some of those beautiful, clever city women. Oh, if that happens to Danny, I couldn't stand this. Excuse me.
Oh, now, Max, see what you've done.
No.
Poor girl's worried to distraction about Danny. You've scared her half to death.
It is strange that Danny hasn't written to anybody back in Sanders. But the time is short since he left Sanders to seek the fortune of the Stratford Springs Corporation in the big market of Chicago. And we may expect to hear of most anything happening there to Danny in this, his first big selling experience. Meantime, what of the other affairs of our colleagues in the town of Sanders? Follow the life of Mary Southern, brought to you every day except Saturday and Sunday by the makers of Heinz Honey and Almond Creams.